And yeah, and there's slight variations. There's going to have to be slight variations, and that's why I tell people all the time, like, look, okay, let's just say, for example, I'm a Lutheran, right? I was raised Lutheran. I tell people that I was raised a good Lutheran by my family, and I like Lutheranism. I thought it was cool. You know, I thought it was great. But hey, there's one thing I like to do. There's one thing I love to do. Is I like to have sex before marriage. Let's just use it for an example. I know it's a funny example, but I'd like to have sex before marriage.
You want to test the horse before the cart, right?
Yeah.
You want to test the rabbi.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Well, you want to put it that way. We'll
you
go
want to drink the milk before you want to test. You want to taste the milk before
make
you
sure.
you buy it. Okay.
Just to make absolutely sure.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Okay. So fine. I believe everything Lutheranism believes in.
Except for the one little thing.
So I'm going to start up Scottism. All right? Now we have Scottism, the Church of Scott. Now, this is a little idea people have to think about this, okay?
We approve the sexual aspect of life prior to marriage.
There
okay?
we go. But we believe in every other value that the Lutheran Church supports. And now we've started a new religion right there. It's that easy to...
And that's
to,
what they've been doing.
That's what people,
over,
that's
over
what I
millennia.
See that's what yeah. I see happening. Yeah.
And then,
okay.
How it works?
It's an interesting idea.
But if you said, okay, well, here's the thing. We're going to worship a rock that's going to fall from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet, and it may not ever happen, or it may happen in 2900
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're worshiping this fictitious rock,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to fall from the sky eventually, and that's what you believe in,
mm-hmm.
right?
You believe in the rock.
You believe in the rock.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, and of course it could come along with a whole bunch of wonderful things like honor your parents and
don't kill, don't steal.
It could come along with all that, but that's not going to be looked at.
No,
what's going to be looked at is you are not obviously Christian.
You're worshiping a rock. What's wrong?
You're worshiping a rock, and you're
bomb their compound.
Well, that's what it is.
Run down the door.
You don't need a rock because you're just all going to get shot.
They need to be stopped right now. So there is that fine line.
So now, Doug, the aspect is now, because we study, let's say, Nostradamus, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
would you have it called an a cult there? Because we're very, we're being open. We know about Nostradamus for big time, you and I, and I know maybe Scott does.
I learned what I learned
people
from
people out there do, and they are like, yo.
Well,
what can we do? What can we do? Is there anything in there that we can divert?
Fortunately, what we are is, in this case, and we talked about this on the last show with Mr. Pruz, we are schizotypal.
Yeah.
So we're not actually a cult or anything.
Okay. You're just a sect of people.
We're just a classification of psychological disorders is what we are.
That's what they would call it, yeah. That's what they would call it.
We have a psychological...
Why does it always have to be such a negative thing?
Right.
Because when you say the word cult, when people say the word cult, right?
It's a negative
connotation. It's a negative connotation. When I hear the word cult, I mean, even I'm programmed. I hear, well, this guy has a cult. I'm like, oh, God, stay away from him. Gross.
That's because you think
the
night
time is the right time.
Yeah, the night time is the right time. Right? It's a negative connotation. And what I found from really looking into a lot of these things, and a good example right there, homie, is Waco, and you brought up Waco. There's a lot of documentation on that thing. I don't want to go into all the facts, but they weren't doing anything to anyone. From what they weren't bothering anybody. They had their purchased land that was paid for. How many people can say that they own their own land, right?
Yeah.
They purchased their own land. They wanted to live on their own terms. They went to the grocery store like everybody else does. They paid their taxes. They did what they had to do. They didn't really bother anybody. I mean, real high level. There's a lot under that, okay? But they didn't bother anyone. And why did it have to go down the way it went down?
That is very true.
That's something for an Alex Jones show.
There you go. We'll leave that. We're going to leave that out there in the ceiling right now.
For Alex Jones to deal with,
But there is that connotation right there because they were called a cult.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be removed. They need to be stopped.
But fortunately, we're not because we're still, hopefully, living in society and we're just now schizotypal.
Well, call Ghostly Talk a cult. That's cool.
They are in the chat room.
Who
is that?
The FBI?
The FBI?
We're also going to have the four rules.
Oh, they could be there, okay?
Oh, there's...
I wouldn't doubt it, okay?
If the FBI was in there, it'd be sweet, dude. Hi, FBI. How you doing?
Yeah, hello.
Good evening. My name is Scott, and here's my social security number. What are you guys? What's going on, guys?
There are certain unique things that have happened with my life on that aspect of life. But you know, I said something on my website about that, and you know, whether they'll say whether they actually got the book or actually, you know, be a party to say that, you know, we're listening to something.
Mm-hmm.
You'll doubt that, you know. I doubt that they'll say that. You know, the government has, and we have seen many a times. I don't know, a lot of people out there don't see or capture certain events of life or watching certain documentaries on maybe how our government is knowledgeable on prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how they try to understand them and even try to prevent certain things from ever happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be going against the grain of some of the religious beliefs in this country that actually vote for the President of the United States.
But I believe what you're saying. I really do think that the government has their fingers in prophecies, just as they had their fingers for a while in remote viewing.
Well, I was just
think of Indiana Jones, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's a great example. I mean, the one thing I'll never forget, and I never understood it when I was growing up, is when I saw the first Indiana Jones film,
mm-hmm.
the very last scene. You know, they show the flashlight scene, because I thought they used flashlights, by the way.
Right.
Little inside thing for the people blew up and stuff. They show the Ark being opened up, and all that cool stuff happens, and then, yeah, he gets out and saves the day and gets the girl, and it's over with, right? The last scene of that film, and I just saw this a couple years ago, and I understood it. The very last scene, they show the Ark being put into a crate.
Mm-hmm.
And then being filed away in
mm-hmm.
this big, gigantic warehouse
mm-hmm.
with all kinds of neat stuff, right? That made a statement. That made a statement in that film, just bringing that up. That was a very important statement, I think. I didn't even get it till a couple of years ago myself, right? The government does have their...
They have their fingers
anything
in
to get
stuff.
Anything to get the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything to get the edge. We need to get the edge.
Well, I think the most prominent example and one of the most well-known examples is how even Nostradamus himself was used by the Germans in...
Hitler knew he was written about
mm-hmm.
Or prophesied about by Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm. And he chose to interpret it as he was going to rule the world.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what he did, and actually, you know, that's why he went about and did what he did. All
right,
he did not know his full demise.
Right.
Okay. There was even Napoleon knew he was written about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. That's just a case of selective perception. Let's just read what we want to read and interpret it how we want to interpret it.
Well, they used Nostradamus as a propaganda element, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they would write false quatrains and drop them over. But, you know, they used the same stuff. It was just amazing how prophecy was part of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It just is... That boggles my mind. But, at the same time, would that happen today? I don't know if prophecy would be used, because now they've got something... you know, that's not like in the realm of sitting parlors and people chatting about. They've got the media,
mm-hmm.
which is like plugged into everybody's head now through internet, TV, and satellite,
mm-hmm.
and satellite radio, and you know even on air radio is all corporate controlled. You know, Clear Channel. They just you know call it Clear Channel.
They gobble up everybody, and
you know here's the latest and here's the latest propaganda. Please put this on every station on the planet.
Or we will kick you off, and then you will not have a job. You'll starve to death and die.
Right.
That's
so they'll do that to Clear Channel, you know. So propaganda, you know, they have different means of getting the word out. But face it, if at the time
mm-hmm.
when communications wasn't what it was today,
mm-hmm.
taking prophecies, which is something that people talk about,
mm-hmm.
you know, people would talk about the prophecies of Nostradamus. They'd talk about, you know, the experiments that were going on in England, and you know, I mean, all this different stuff, and they would talk about that, the sitting room stuff, because
mm-hmm.
that's all you would do. You wouldn't be like on the phone with everybody. You know, I mean, sometimes, but it was very expensive. But,
yeah.
You wouldn't be on the phone with everybody calling like 900 people saying, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You wouldn't be like plugged into your satellite TV or satellite radio and
mm-hmm.
finding out what everybody else is finding out. You would be visiting with people. People would come over your house or you would go over people's houses and visit, and you would chat and you would talk. And that's the realm that prophecy really, really fits into, because it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting conversation.
It's interesting. It's scary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's informative. Prophecy has all that going for it. And it's sitting room stuff. It's great. And, you know, for them to put on CNN or something, it's a little, you know, it just doesn't seem to fit that. You know, it's not part of a one-sided conversation, which XM radio, or I don't know, there's also, what, the Sirius radio. I mean, there's all,
yeah, there's
different,
all types of different
corporate-controlled radio, you know, airwave radio, and... you know, newspapers and magazines, mm-hmm. and TV, satellite TV and cable TV, and even airwave TV, all of that is one-sided communication. And prophecy, I find, is more interesting when you're conversing with somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it really takes off. That's where it really gets interesting and gets good. Because you can ask questions, you can, you know,
and you can
reinterpret, bounce ideas off of each other. That's why it was such I think that was one of the reasons why it was so used in World War II.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
you gotta, sometimes it's used to scare the people.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because it is scary.
It's very scary.
Oh, yes, of course. You know, it's like, well, darn, you know, well, if this man has written about our lifetime... You know, why would I really want to know if it's all bad?
Right.
Well, you see, it's not really all bad, because what it is, it's actually a gift from God saying, well, we have the ability to divert certain things of the near future that could be very damaging to mankind, which is very good, which mm-hmm. is like a gift from God to say, hey, listen, we can change our life course for the benefit of mankind. We know what the really outcome could be very, very soon if you're talking about God. Because that's what prophecy is entwined with.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we
found out prophecy is more than less and nothing more than actually actions of mankind and that of spirituality of God. There's two things involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, well, how do you prove that there is a God? Well, you know, if you see there's so many things that have been written down, and Nostradamus did write some things in plain English to us in some understanding. Let's say, you know, he has written in French, Latin, in different ways. But when it comes to actual the translation of it, it's almost like saying, whoa, it hits us right in the face. He can't be any more clearer than what he wrote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's put it, Doug, let's talk about, let's say, Century 3, Quatrain 65. This talks about a pope being poisoned.
Oh, I remember that one. Mm-hmm. I don't have my handy-dandy Nostradamus chart, but I do remember the one about the pope being...
That sticks out in your mind, right?
Yeah, that one does stick out in my mind, yeah.
Okay.
That had happened, too.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Now, you say, now, it's a theory.
Right.
You got to be careful here. We got to be watching, you know.
That's
how
true.
We say things can be taken for, you know,
well, yeah,
let's not go to court here, okay?
That is true that it was not proven,
okay.
But yeah.
But the thing is that, now, I was on a recent show and I said something about him being cremated or something. What I really actually found out, and there's some things I didn't know until just recently,
mm-hmm.
was that he was actually embalmed, which was against the law of the Roman Catholic Church.
Ooh.
Now, why did they embalm him? Is that possible that, first of all, we can't exhume his body because of their laws?
Mm-hmm.
And even if we did, maybe in the future, would be allowed to, would we find out that maybe he did have poison in his system from maybe drinking from the sacred chalice of the Mass that morning?
Mm-hmm. But they took all his blood away and replaced it with... Right.
But then we do have that now unique DNA tool to check something out. Maybe that could help. I don't know.
Yeah,
that could be. But that's something that they wouldn't have planned for, you know.
Now, you see, now that's an understanding why the Roman Catholic Church would really like to suppress... wanted to suppress Nostradamus even when he was alive. For the things that he wrote of the future, you know. Yo, Pope's being poisoned? Yo.
Yeah.
How about a pope being shot, you know?
About that, too. I thought...
That actually falls in line. Century 2, Quatrain 97. That talks about the pope being shot. Falls in line with the Roman Catholic Church prophecies of Our Lady of Fatima, where he released certain information of the Third Secret back in 2001,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about a pope being shot too. So there's two prophecies of different of two different places
Sorcery.
That actually coincides with a pope being shot.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, we have to take a break.
Let's take a break
okay.
real quick.
Because we want to play some indie music for
actually, it's a short one.
Short one?
Find the shortest break and let's do the shortest break because this is way too interesting.
Yeah, this is very.
So let's take a really short break. We'll be back with more about prophecies and spirituality with Homie 3
yeah.
right after this. Keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Every other Saturday on www.ghostishfiles.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. Then make that booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
It's so touchy.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my body.
Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. See you at night.
Hi, this is Tamara Thorne, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott Allen Duck.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been issued by official intimation or instructions. This station serves the lives of your community. This test of the emergency broadcast.
We're here.
We're back on the air. Yeah. Okay, good, good, good. Hey, that's it. We're back on the air. We are Scottless at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. but I'm still Doug.
Yeah, I'm Will.
And, of course, we have Homie 3 on.
It's only a disease. We're Scottless.
We're Scottless, but...
like Homie, don't you know me?
And this is Homie, and we're talking about prophecies. And spirituality and averting prophecies, of course, has been mentioned a couple times. And do you think that's happened?
Well, I had some conversation with Victor Baines, and we're feeling that I don't know which quatrain it is at this moment in time. So I've read them many a time. And he had stated that there's a possibility that we had already diverted the United States Navy from being annihilated during the war with Iraq.
Oh, well, that's good.
Okay, think about it. The first time our Navy went up to attack Iraq during the Gulf War, or whatever the year, we went up into the Persian Gulf.
That was the first one, the Gulf War.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this time we sat in the Arabian Sea. I'd like to wonder why. Why didn't we go back up into the Persian Gulf?
Right.
This time? Maybe because we could be a sitting duck for those who wanted to annihilate the Navy?
Could be. So yeah. So they used the foreknowledge to run that war a little differently.
Correct. Or mm-hmm. let's take, for instance, I know about this one, Century 10, Quatrain 49, where he writes about the waters of, where he talks about the Garden of the World near the New City,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey, New York, the waters being poisoned.
Right.
Now, is that possible that we are actually trying to protect the, we don't want to really, maybe we're actually letting the, our enemy know about a prophecy that they could actually fulfill if we discuss it on air, right?
Well, what's interesting?
Think about that. You know, we talk about the I'm talking about the reservoirs being protected mm-hmm. from being chemicals being dropped in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that particular prophecy is interesting because that's the quatrain, and I'm going purely by memory because I don't have any materials in front of me because I'm dumb. That's the one that talks about, I believe. Either people moving through mountains or roads moving through mountains or something going through a mountain.
Man-made mountains. It talks about... it talks about near the New City where the man-made mountains are.
Okay, then...
Skyscrapers, okay? When he mentioned New City, we know he mentioned it was really New York City.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I'm thinking of then. And, okay. Yeah, they... that coincides with a prophecy that there's a modern prophet. I don't know if I want.
There's many modern prophets these days. You know.
Yeah,
I've talked about them before.
Isn't that what the Bible even talks about? In the end, you'll have many false prophets.
Well, here's one.
But then you'll have one that'll stick out as not being false.
Well, here's one of those many. Solog.
Oh, I know about it. Yes, I know, yes. I've seen his website, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen his website, too. And
Nostradamus.org, I believe it is.
He owns a lot of website names, and they all take you to the same place.
Well I sent him an email pertaining to the aspect that I put the JFK being the king from the sky of July mm-hmm. of 1999, JFK Jr., and then I put it in copyright. I sent him. I said, "You're not the only one who had that information, but who really had that information first, and what he did with it?"
Oh, right.
Okay. He never responded. Yeah. So I basically, you know, I've had my response. You know, I had my emails and conversations where I say attempting to talk to certain individuals like John Hogue.
Mm-hmm.
No response.
Right.
Okay, but
well, that's what
see.
A lot of people think of me too, because I just don't do email very well. but it's not for lack of wanting to. It's just.
But you see, now let's say I mentioned something about Victor Baines being, with a statement about my book.
Mm-hmm.
Now I didn't really have any contact with him until late November of 2003.
Okay.
Like in some aspects of what I wrote in different things, don't you think I should have probably had contact with him since 1999?
Well, yeah. but hey, you know, I mean, right?
It's how the puzzles fit to fall into place at different times of life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's more of that synchronicity stuff going on.
Oh, thank you, Sting, for that song.
Well, no, not that. I don't like that song, actually. But I do, oh, okay. But I do like the idea of synchronicity.
Yeah, it's unique. There's a lot of things that can be discussed. Like, what about Century 3, Quatrain 77? It talks about the church with great shame or a king of Prussia being captive. You know, and he talks about the year 2025,
wow.
Doesn't he?
Because that's coming up now, is what that one is. So that's kind of scary. What was the? Do you remember?
Well, what about
the
Mayan calendar that talks about 2012? Okay,
2012
being
is
the
end of the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming up now. I have a question. What about Malachi? with...
Oh, yes. I just happened to come in contact with the understanding of St. Malachi because of the Pope that just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. Well, we're second to the last Pope.
Yep. This is the second from last Pope, according to...
It's kind of funny that this Pope right now is the 111. I look at the number, three ones there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Something synonymous. When you look at Pope John Paul II and his lifetime of being a Pope and certain things that he has done, and even when he was voted in, how the number three appears around his life of prophecy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? He is associated with a certain aspect of prophecy. All right? When you talk about St. Malachi, when you look at all of them, there's threes appearing all over them. Okay? A lot of things in prophecy has always the number three appearing. When we look at 9/11, how many planes hit how many buildings?
Right. We had the right. one hit, we had two per tower, and then one hit the, a third hit the plane.
Well, supposedly a plane hit the Pentagon, but as of late, there's been some debate about whether it was a real plane.
Well, they're also talking about that with the one in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Whether it was shot down. I mean, there's just...
Oh, that's right, whether it was shot down or not.
Whether it was shot down or the aspect, you know...
But yeah, they're saying now it's more likely that it was a missile or something that hit the Pentagon, because there's absolutely no debris.
Yeah, okay.
And so there's
a lot of controversy
going on about that.
Okay, so you know, and there's a lot of things. But the aspect is that you had three buildings hit. You had, let's say, three planes involved, because the Pentagon was not hit by a plane then.
Mm-hmm.
So you had only three planes involved, the one that really went down in Pennsylvania. Okay?
Right.
So, and then you had three actual land sites that were hit. You had New York City, Pittsburgh, you know, near Pittsburgh, PA, mm-hmm. and, of course, Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at most of the hijackers, how old were they? 33.
Yeah, in their 30s.
Okay, well, Flight 93, you know, how many passengers were on board? I think there was 33.
Wow.
Maybe I think it, you know, or something like that. I think it was.
But that three does seem to appear quite a
yes,
bit.
Yes, it appears, you know, when you look at 9/11, darn, there's three ones, and three times the power of three is nine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Amazing.
And it took place, you know, close to 9 o'clock.
Yes, it did.
Something like that, okay. So there was a lot of things involved with the number three on that day. Even like with the Columbia shuttle accident.
Mm-hmm.
In February, 2003? Was that Columbia?
That was,
Yeah, it was Columbia.
Columbia.
When you look at that, the threes are all over that, too. Okay, that's something that, I warned our government in my book, in an original manuscript, basically, when I handed it over to who I said I did.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it discusses that I don't set up any more vehicles of destruction for the safety of the humans aboard. When I knew that they took off, I knew it was going to blow up on reentry.
Well, that's kind of scary, because I believe they said they were restarting the program.
Yes, well, I mentioned earlier, late last year on a certain radio show that there would be another shuttle disaster prior to the end of this year, without knowledge that they were actually going to send up shuttles this year.
Interesting.
Okay.
And then I basically also
said that it possibly could actually be the third shuttle that might have an accident.
Why would they do? I mean, it seems like it seems to me that they've been forewarned, right?
Well, you see, I found out just recently that they actually were going to actually install that new heater element on the outside of the external tank
mm-hmm.
on the third shuttle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Why not the first and second? And then they actually started. That's why they actually pushed the launch date now to July, because they are inserting these heating elements on the outside of the external tanks to the first and second ones, too.
Could anything they've done allow them to reinstate the program and send up shuttles again, but yet avert another disaster?
Well, they could try.
Mm-hmm.
If it's meant and if it's written down, they cannot divert certain things.
Right.
All right. There's certain things. It's only to the aspect of, well, 9/11, with the information that we all had of prophecies and everything, why didn't we divert that?
Right. It was it was going to happen, is what what everybody's, you know, coming to the conclusion.
It was meant to happen for a reason.
It had to happen.
Okay, it had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, could have we diverted the shuttle from blowing up that morning? No, not on reentry at any time. But to have crew aboard, yes. You could have left the crew up there and had sent up another shuttle later on.
Right.
Okay.
Right, you could have averted the human loss.
That's right. Okay.
Hmm.
So, you know, and sometimes you wonder, well, if our government is so smart and trying to understand prophecy, well, then why don't they heed it and listen for a change?
I don't think they listen to anything other than
politics.
Well,
you see, there's certain things they can't do because of different religious beliefs that go on and about in our country.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That it's against the law of God to try to change the future? Well, he gave us this information to change. All right? I was a minister for 3 years, so I know what I'm talking about. The aspect is, even being a minister of a certain religious group, I was even lying to the people of what I talk about. All right? Think about that. So I had a, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Why? I'm actually lying to the people of saying that this is the only true religion? No, there's a, every religion out there say they're the true religion.
Right. I've noticed that commonality. There is one common thread among religions, and that's they all say that they're the true religion. But at least the popular modern ones. But
yeah,
I don't know. What in your mind do you think, because I do want to ask a question, what in your mind think is like the scariest thing coming up according to prophecy as you interpret it? Just to scare everybody real fast.
Maybe the earthquakes, the natural disasters. I think basically to some things that we have already diverted, maybe possibly was World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're thankful that the France, Germany, Russia, and China and Germany stayed out of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had, can you imagine maybe mass widespread losses of life from conflicts with maybe the Al-Qaeda network all about? And that we've actually tried to diffuse the Al-Qaeda network big time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are things we have to think about. North Korea. All right. Well, are they really part of the access that Nostradamus wrote about?
Interesting. How come I've not heard of that before?
Okay.
I did not ever think of that, North Korea being part of what Nostradamus was talking about.
Or maybe by an Iraq? I mean Iran?
Iran, of course, I had thought about them.
Okay. So, and what is not being told to the public, which we're talking about openly here? All right. Now, is our government really trying to defuse that type of situation and not telling you people? There's been so many things that have been done over the years that is not done to explain to the public. I mean, look how many, let's talk about UFOs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the equipment that we have come up with over the past 100 years, or the United States has the Harrier jets, the stealth fighters. Okay.
Well,
the advancement of every single piece of equipment and how you test them, but you can't let your enemy know out there what you have. Okay, you're test flighting them, and people see this stuff, they think it's UFOs. What is a UFO? All right. You're test flighting this stuff, and nobody's told what it is, and you see them at night, and you're flying. Harrier jets are flying, they're taking off straight up,
right,
and then take off in the sky. Wow. Ooh.
And
what was that?
Nothing that you were familiar with up until.
That's right. Nothing you ever were familiar with in your life, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like when the Hopi Indian guy wrote that way back when. He says, when you see the white man, when you see cobwebs in the sky and the white man puts a permanent teepee in the sky, you'll know you're in the final days.
Ooh, was he talking about
the space shuttle?
Okay, the space shuttle.
A teepee, it's a house.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And, well, or the space station in that case.
Yeah.
The ISS, International Space Station, he may have been talking about. But cobwebs in the sky sound to me like those chemtrails. Have you ever looked up in the sky and saw the, you know, like the paths that planes had taken?
Yeah, the jets, the exhaust of the jet.
Well, the theory is, if you look at a normal jet, they do have what they call a contrail, but it doesn't linger for the entire day. Yet there are now any given. Sometimes, you know, several times a week, you can go out and look in the sky and you can see these contrails that are just huge and spreading, right? And lingering for an entire day. And that's not normal. Normal is the contrail would, you know, evaporate, freeze and then evaporate.
And now it's staying.
Now they're just hanging out there for an entire day. They actually spread out and they form clouds, and then they have blocked out the sun and made a nice bright sunny day into a cloudy day. But they're not clouds. They call them chemtrails in that case. CHEM, like chemical, because it's not normal for a contrail to not dissipate.
There's the cobweb.
That could be the cobwebs, and I'll tell you what. Sometime this week, I'll go out and take some pictures of the sky because I see it way too often around here. And I'll take a picture of the sky in the morning when I'm going to work, and then at night when I'm going home from work, and I'll send you the difference because it goes from, you know, nice day or whatever to crisscrosses and checkerboards and zigzags of contrails, but contrails are supposed to dissipate. That's the part that's really difficult to understand. But they, you know, so what happens is they, by these things not dissipating, it really does look like a big checkerboard in the sky for no reason. Because you know what a cloud looks like.
Well, I do.
It's
okay,
round
so
and fluffy.
That fits the description of what that guy wrote.
It
so.
Fits perfectly with the spider webs in the sky or the webs in the sky. That fits perfectly in, and that started happening, what, 5 or 8 years ago, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
And it's picked up. It's picked up big time.
Okay.
And from what I understand in that particular genre of, that's also part of, you know, conspiracy cover-up kind of stuff. One of the things that they talk about is that there have been folks with telescopes and binoculars and high-powered cameras with zoom lenses, and evidently when you take pictures of these planes, I don't know, I haven't done it myself, but if you take a picture of the plane that's creating these chemtrails as opposed to contrail, they have no markings, no FAA numbers, things like that. They're not always black, you know, like they say black ops and black helicopters. These planes are not always black. They're sometimes, you know, different colors. But they've got their identification markings all covered up. That's what people say. I don't know. I haven't, you know, followed up on that. Because I'm not really into conspiracy kind of thing. But that's what folks have been, what I've
read. Well, we do have a lot of conspiracies that go on all over the place all the time.
Right.
I mean, what about the conspiracy things of thoughts of UFOs over the course of a certain amount of years? The aspect here is, you know, hey, think about this. You have a group of people, they have an understanding. We're at a time frame of the time of end. We have a lot of equipment that we could do a lot of things with and a lot of knowledge. Let's try to build these things that they call UFOs and flying saucers.
And they could, I think. Yeah. I think that there's actually technology for that, but I think it
now might. I have caught certain people giving lectures around the United States over the course of the last 5 years, and what was brought out even a little movie clip of how the United States and Canada government tried to make flying saucers since 1940s. Okay.
But I think that they've done it because my personal opinion is they must have either knowledge of advanced technology, or they were given advanced technology that they're trying to mimic.
Well, they back engineered it.
Or they back engineered. Well, that's the popular theory, is they're reverse engineering, you know, crashed flying saucers.
Yeah. Now you know the Earth is coming to an end, so. We're making stuff for the ones that are gifted, certain groups of people that are going to get off this planet before the end happens. So, and the rest of us are screwed, you know.
Of course.
right? The power of the dollar and the power of who you know and what you know, right?
Politics and money. Yep.
Yeah, true. Now, that's a good theory, okay? Now, I could be wrong, right?
And that's fine, but if you want to, you know, it's something that you always want to talk about and keep in the back of your mind, because if you're not thinking about it and then it happens, you weren't even at all prepared.
That's true.
You know, you can at least do some things. You can't get unless you happen to know the right people or have enough money, you can't get on one of these futuristic
one of these vehicles that are going to divert their own destruction, let's put it
like
that way.
An arc or something?
Yeah, like the arc, okay?
Arc. Yeah.
The modern man arc, let's put it that way.
Right, the 21st century arc, you know, that goes up into space instead of floats on water. You can't get a seat on that unless you have either enough money or enough politics behind you, but you can prepare a little bit for what you can do while you're still here. And
true.
But if you don't think about it at all, you'll never be prepared. It'll just
hey guys, what happened? How come you didn't think of me? Yo,
well,
when that day comes, how come you didn't ask me if I wanted to go on that space shot, whatever.
Right, they forget to ask us. But well, like for example, how prepared was I? All of us here at Ghostly Talk were in the middle of that multi-state, multi-day blackout a couple of years ago. That's when, like, you know, what, from New York all the way into Ohio, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And parts of, parts of southern, lower.
That was really nice and neat to have happened, especially when now you're at war with terrorist of the Arcadia Network?
Right. And
goodness. That really put a lot of people on pins and needles, I'm sure, that night.
I know. I was extremely scared. Will, did they ever come out and refute the tree fell on a power line in Ohio theory? Or
all I know is I have some. I know some people who have relatives that work for various power companies that were affected, and the official word is that it was a tree.
Right, a tree.
However,
fell on a power line,
very few of them actually believe it.
Well, I don't blame them because I don't believe it.
Well, I saw on TV over by Niagara Falls was this power plant that was on fire.
Right, exploded.
It blew up, and they were blaming it on that for a whole 30 seconds.
Right.
And then it was a tree.
And then it became a tree in Ohio.
Like 500 miles away, there's a tree.
But what that proved to me was how unprepared I was. I wasn't prepared at all for any kind of disaster.
Lucky I got gas that morning.
Right. You'd gotten gas, yeah.
I was on E when I got to work.
Well, I drive an ancient car that gets 40 miles to the gallon, so I was pretty okay. Even if I only had a gallon left, I could go 40 miles. So I was pretty lucky, but I wasn't prepared. You know, it was hot, muggy. I didn't have power. I didn't have, what could I do? And it lasted days. So at least if you think about these things, you can at least be a little bit prepared. You can't obviously get on the ark or whatever it is going to be that takes the rich people, but rich and powerful people. But you can at least prepare a little bit, and you know, to make it comfortable as possible. I don't know.
Doug, in my book, I give a little explanation of what could happen on that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
Give you people a better understanding of how the gods, the arc of God, would be about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little bit of understanding that you really don't have to worry about getting on some spaceship to get off this planet.
Oh, good. Then I'll get your book. That'll be part of my preparedness.
Okay. Now is that maybe just my understanding? Well, the thing is, you know, I wouldn't go out and write this book at all if it hadn't been for some nudging by some supernatural force.
Yeah, you get your information from high-order beings. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. I have gotten information at different times to give out, and in some aspects I've had some... a very good hit-miss ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. They say psychics have hit-miss ratios of, let's say, 90% or 98%. I may probably basically have close to almost 100% ratio.
Mm-hmm. Because you're getting your information from
a pure source.
Yep, yep. Interesting.
Okay. Now I do know that I don't use it for personal lives a lot of times. And though I have, I've been given information at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't go there right now. Okay, because we're having a good fun of talk and of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually also give a picture in the book of a spirit that has even appeared when I was taking a picture.
Ooh.
It's found on the website of the book at homie3.com.
Was it a ghost or was it a
I don't.
Angel?
I say it's the spirit. Well, I leave it up to you people to make a decision of what it is.
Okay.
I say it is God in his least amount of power presence.
Oh, okay.
All right, the high spirit of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have different levels of spirituality on the other side. That's why you see ghosts that walk around.
Right.
Okay, why some appear and why some don't?
Well, okay. That's been a question, yeah.
the different levels they are on the other side, like let's say limbo. You know, let's say the funny movie Beetlejuice, okay?
Yep.
You know, at the end, what does Michael Keaton do, right? Grabs the ticket, right? I don't like sitting here for too long a time, okay? You took the wrong ticket. Yeah, you stole the ticket, okay? This is what happens to you while you're in limbo. Oh, your head's going small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You live and you learn, right?
Or you die and you learn in that case.
That's true. Okay.
But, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you brought that up, because we're ghost hunters, right?
Okay.
That's one of our hobbies. It's
yeah.
to check out places that have, you know, rumors or legends of being haunted. So we go out to different places. It could be a bridge in the middle of nowhere. It could be a road where apparitions have been seen walking up and down. It could be anything. It could be a house that someone's living in and they've got all this weird stuff going on. Are those ghosts?
Okay, yes, okay. You have all different types, you know, like I noticed that, you know, like you have the orbs that go around.
Mm-hmm, yep.
All right, different levels of spirits, okay? People see angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you have different levels. You know, it's just like when we talk about dreams. What level dream state? You know,
that's right.
All right, what level? How far does the dream really go? 5, 10 levels. All right,
that's right.
So, who are we to really say if we're mere mortals?
Right.
Though we dream, okay.
But we're sheltered from the information. That's
yeah,
interesting.
But
You're
are
not.
We really when we have? Different things of telling us what the future might be by prophecies.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Are we
okay.
really sheltered from
like
this?
The reality, like the reality
looking?
Of the dream, like a reality of 9/11, of a dream, a reality, the physical dream state of life that took place to knock all of mankind into spiritual understanding or try to understand what this was all about.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of... I was on a plane in Boston, coming from Boston, Massachusetts earlier this year, and I was discussing the book, the book that I have authored or channeled, as you might say, and I was discussing that infamous movie about 9/11, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And how people remembered about that movie and how curious they were about prophecy. Because really, 9/11 really knocked the daylights out of everybody.
It did.
And, all right. And from what they had saw in certain movies and people with knowledge, it's like this really took place. What can we do to bring peace around and rather than having destruction?
Evidently, we go to war. That's what's happened. But
Well, we couldn't stop good old Georgie boy from... pulling his gun because we basically had a cowboy in office with a holster.
Right.
That basically had carte blanche when 9/11 took place.
That's what it was.
Okay. And he waited he really did wait for a good period of time, even though he planned to go to war right away. Once 9/11 happened, he knew he could go to do anything he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I even joked about it. I even laughed when I saw the concert for New York City when one of the comedians mentioned how he was hey, I could do anything I want now, guys, when he imitated George Bush.
And it's absolutely true, because people can react out of fear, and that's what they were doing. They were reacting out of fear. They're like, well, we couldn't stop this, and so we're afraid it could happen again, and we're going to give you resources, money, people, anything you want.
Yeah,
they even gave him the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is now the Homeland Security.
I mean, he could have taken out Saddam in a lot of different other ways. He had a lot of other options. Okay?
Right.
He just really, oh, hey, my buddies in the military contract houses that manufacture a lot of artillery, they seem to have been in a lull in a business, and they need a little pick-me-up, so let's go to war and throw a lot of dollars their way and do some manufacturing again.
And that's what they did. And are doing. And it's sort of like, you know, it's just not.
And on top of it, the oil is involved, all right?
It always comes down to that.
Okay, well, how much oil is really under the land of, or is owned maybe by Bush himself and his family of in Texas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't feasible to pump that gas at that price. Now we've got a high price. Now we can start pumping out oil, guys. It's now profitable to pump our oil for everybody. Let's pump it.
Right, and they can.
And we make money now. We couldn't make money before, so we capped our pumps. All
right. Right, because all of a sudden everything's over $2 a gallon for gas. All right. And it's much, much more worth it than when it was $1.24.
Now this is all theory, of course. Okay?
Theory.
Good open thoughts, you know.
Oh yeah. But is that, I don't know if that's the way that it should have been handled, because, you know, there's all those other ulterior motives that can be read into it. But does that really advance us as a people? I don't think so.
No, it only shows the evil-minded of how people treat each other.
Mm-hmm. It reinforces it. It reinforces that.
Okay, the almighty buck in politics evolve again.
Okay, I have an absolutely hilarious, you know, they're going on and on and on in the chat room, right?
Uh-huh.
And oh, by the way, everybody, Homie3 did want to get in the chat room, but it didn't work on his computer. So that's because, you know, it's the Java thing, and there's a lot of people who can't get in the chat room, but you know, hopefully that will, you know, find something that works better. But right now, he couldn't get in. One of the things they want to know, and it's funny because it's unrelated to what we're talking about, what happened to Homie 1 and Homie 2? I think after talking with you, I think I know why the three, but I want you to tell me.
Well, I don't know what happened to Homie 1 or 2. But at one point when I, you know, somebody had slapped and said, we're going to call you Homie, and it just followed me wherever it went. And then, of course, I would find out about Homie the Clown and this and that.
Right, right.
So I said, hey, you know, hey, if I'm supposed to do something, if I'm supposed to be maybe part of a prophetic writing, or if I'm supposed to be doing something very important, how about if I make something unique with the name? How about
mm-hmm.
if I put a 3 on the end?
Okay. And also,
and then maybe throw a smiley face on the end, okay?
Yep, you've also got the smiley face on the end.
Okay, so, because I figured spirituality, God, and mankind, if you put them together, you're going to at least give them you're going to have a smile.
Right.
You're going to be happy all over the place.
And that's where the 3 comes from, everyone.
Yeah, and the 3 is a very, and I look at it very important with mankind, spirituality. Well, darn. You know, when you look at 3s with spirituality and God and prophecy, how many rocks are you from the sun? How many planets?
Right. Third planet from the sun.
Okay. In some aspects of how many, on what day did he give light to Earth? The
mm-hmm.
third day. And when you look at a lot of prophets down through mankind's history, you find 3 all over them, and even with actions of mankind, which we discussed about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like even when Nostradamus wrote about JFK, John Kennedy, being shot in daylight, and the postulant one being told,
mm-hmm.
or the one is giving the warning, and then one being shot at night, he talked about 3 brothers. You know,
mm-hmm. 3 brothers.
He talked about 3 being of the same sameness in power. Well, they were all senators. Okay.
Right.
All right. They never achieved the presidency of the United States, but they were all senators.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same power. They still have power because of their name. So
three being a recurring theme, and it does happen a lot.
Yeah.
Even the old saying is, bad things come in threes, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I
see we're getting late. We're getting close to shutoff time.
I know. Will just gave me the 5-minute warning. So.
Yeah.
But
now, basically, I I'm on the show, and I really would like to promote the book that I've written.
Yes, the book.
Okay.
Of course, it's called Prophecies with a Divine Answer. Right.
And you can go to homie3.com, homey3.com. It has places, it has book purchase, in other words, where you can find bookstores where they have the book, and a couple of websites that you can get the e-book from.
Right.
But anybody who's listening tonight, if you give me an email off the website at the bottom of page of the homepage, I will definitely, if you say you were listening to the show, I will send you a copy of the e-book for free.
Wow. That's okay. Awesome. That's awesome.
All right. So,
folks, there you go. You can't beat that.
Okay.
So.
I have it on sale. We sell it for $1.95. The paperback right now costs $14.95. And by the way, I now have to sit down and rewrite it and add a lot more information. So whatever books are there, in some aspects of mankind's thinking, this could be worth a. This could be a memento in the near future for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but
it really is not going to be worth a darn, especially of what the outcome is of the future for mankind is.
Well, that's the thing. The future is an unraveling thing. It happens over time, and so over time, since you wrote the book, things have happened, and so it's going to be an ongoing thing.
Absolutely.
And I applaud you for taking on that task. That's quite a task. you're trying to chronicle
the
future.
Well, let's put it this way. If you're dealing with some spirit, supernatural force, and I'd really rather not go against his power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? Because he does have a very unique power, all right?
Oh, yes.
And we could discuss that at another time, Doug.
I hope so.
I've enjoyed being on the show with you. I've enjoyed chatting with Scott and hello, Will. I know Will didn't get much wording in edgewise.
he's in the chat rooms all the time, and he's like watching the time, and he does things behind the scenes, but he does indeed have a microphone, and he pipes in every now and then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I have to say, Homie3, thank you so much. It's homie3.com, H-O-M-E-Y, the number 3.com, Prophecies with a Divine Answer, dash off an email, or purchase the book off of that website. You, Homie3, have a permanent link in our GT guest sites, because
okay.
We put a link on our homepage so that people...
I got your link up I do have a link page on my website. Mm-hmm. You're already there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. The one that constantly changes, that says live Sunday night 7, and it keeps changing.
Yep.
The little ghost there.
Isn't he cute?
Yeah.
That was unique.
That's one of the originals.
That's the original logo. The original logo. Yeah,
okay.
With the little ghosty guy. And although we've branched out a bit from there, we've had to. So I have to say, Homie3, thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and hopefully we can chat again somewhere.
As the future unfolds, and as it becomes more and more mysterious, we do want to have you back on.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
No, thank you. May God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You too.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Homie3 talking about one of my favorite topics, prophecies. Although we ended up talking about a lot of things that surround prophecy.
Right.
But that's the thing. That's the enjoyable part. What time is it?
We got 1 minute left.
Apis
is on the muscle of the show.
You're the what would that be? The hamster on the wheel or something? but yeah, that's something. So I'm really glad we had quite an action packed show. We had I'd like to thank, of course, Homie3 for coming on. Prophecies with a Divine Answer. Get the ebook, get the paperback book, whichever. Read it. He's absolutely fascinating and has a lot to say, and obviously wide-ranging knowledge. I mean, you can't get any better than that. And of course, Rick and Karen from Life's Gift.com in the first part of the show. So I guess we got to wrap it up and throw it over to W Paranormal, which is coming up next on Pioneer. We're broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and then immediately following that is W Paranormal. The website for the station is pioneer.rolo.net, or now we're, of course, on IMX, the Indie Music Exchange. That's IndieMusicExchange.com. They're all linked up on the Ghostly Talk website, our website, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Bye.
That's it for this week. I'm going to go take a throat lozenge. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.